everybody. Take two. You couldn't hear take one, but if you did, as you can tell, it's been a while since Anne and I have sat down and recorded a podcast. Obviously, some things kind of personal. I shattered my ankle Christmas Day, actually. Came into the studio, no problem. Worked the normal day here at the Radio Ranch where this podcast is produced out of. And then went to go over to my sister's for Christmas and completely shattered my ankle, put me on the mend for 2 weeks. And thankfully, Ann and I have been communicating via email, via text, and it's been quite a while since we've been in the studio. So it's, like I said, it's been a while, but Ann and I are officially back. We're happy to be back. We're happy to be reunited. And like I said, when we record these episodes, it's usually when we see each other in person. So it was just basically kind of a catch up. Hey, how's your ankle doing? And hey, is everything still going good in your world?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that, like, I had just posted, too, before I found out about your ankle, like, thanks, Seth, for keeping me accountable. You're doing such a great job on my podcast. But it was my fault that no podcast got made during January. So accountability, but I got to put my hand up that, yeah, it was all down to me. But we had plenty of episodes going, and you know, so, but we're back on track for 2024. So this is our first episode, and it is good to be back.
It is, and it is the first week of February. We got Valentine's Day coming around the corner. Obviously, the Adirondack Thunder are doing fantastic.
Thunder.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the three words that we use all the time. They have had a remarkable season, 7 sellouts downtown. So it's always great to see, especially when the Thunder do well and the hockey team does well, everyone else in downtown Glens Falls does pretty well. As well. So that's a good thing to have. And it kind of segues into the episode here. But so far, so good as far as in everyone downtown. I mean, obviously, the news is, you know, the Glens Falls did lose the state basketball tournament to Binghamton. So that kind of puts a damper and a little dent into the community during that weekend to get the people that are not from around here to get that business.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of the people listening are not from the Glens Falls area.
Sure.
But I definitely encourage people to come down to Glens Falls. I'm in this area because my brother relocated here 40 years ago. And so then I ended up moving back here when I moved back to the area. And but when he first moved here, like, downtown was dead, a lot of empty buildings, you know, the malls were thriving then, and it's crazy to see the difference now. And now it's like Glens Falls is the place to be, you know, not as expensive as Saratoga, not as, like, over busy as Saratoga is, but there's, like, great restaurants, great businesses, like, thriving community. Like, we talked to Amanda from the ARCC a few episodes ago. You know, they do a great job promoting the area. So really, it's the place to be. I'm really lucky to be able to have landed here.
And it's almost like a complete 180 as it was a few years ago, right? You said the malls were thriving. And
right.
And now, I mean, even going during Christmas time, during kind of the Christmas break that the hockey team had, I went into the mall and I said, wow, we're 48 hours away from Christmas and it's a complete ghost town. But now you go anywhere in Glens Falls, even like on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, let alone the weekend, if you go through town, sometimes you're waiting, you know, 20 minutes to get through town. And that is a good problem to have. And it's great to see, you know, the Cool Insuring Arena had Jeff Dunham in January. That was sold out. They got wrestling going on this weekend. Then the Thunder are back home. So, I mean, it helps when, A, the hockey team's doing well and other events are doing well around the Cool Insuring Arena. But also, you have to factor in too, it's kind of 2024 and people are out and about doing things, and that's what you like to see from a community standpoint. And you're right about, you know, Saratoga, and sometimes it's a distance thing, sometimes it's, hey, we're right downtown. I mean, there's so many businesses opening up on South Street on the other end. you know, by J.P. Bruno's. You have the new taco spot that opened up down there as well.
Yep, there's a cocktail bar there I haven't tried out yet.
Yeah, I believe it's Flight. John Homke, I think, owns that.
Is it?
I think that's who it is. Oh, yeah. 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 So, I mean, there's just quite a lot of different things. And, you know, like I said, Ann and I, we haven't talked, you know, face-to-face in quite a while. But we're officially back. We're happy to be back on for Building Success Stories. And this episode going to be focused around kind of your most asked marketing questions. And surprise, surprise, yes, you do have a website in addition to a podcast. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, is breaking down kind of the most asked questions. And I'm really excited for this episode because I have a marketing background. I have a media background. I went to school for it. And I love kind of hearing the tips and tricks. And anyone that's listened to previous episodes know that sometimes we could get on quite a rant about marketing and questions things like that. So super excited to dive into this episode. And honestly, I'm just excited to just pick your brain more about marketing and everything. But your most asked questions on PlayCentric Digital Marketing, on PlayCentric.com, do I have to do marketing with your website and with your business in general? And we can both answer that question. It's yes, you have to market your business.
Yeah, but I mean, people do ask that question because I think people get so busy with their business, doing the day-to-day of their business, and they're marketing maybe in ways they don't realize they're marketing. You know, like word of mouth, joining a chamber. Like, those are all types of marketing, and there's many different types of marketing. Some people are a bit afraid of doing social media marketing. They don't want to put themselves out there. They're not sure what to say. But definitely, the more marketing you do, the more business you're going to get. And the reason I wanted to cover these questions in the podcast is that I purposefully, when I did the article on my website and I send it out in my newsletter, I kept the answers really short because I tend to waffle on. So now this is the time for waffling.
This is your platform.
This is my platform. This is when I get to hear myself talk. I think that it's important for people to get advice from a professional marketing person. And of course, I'm going to say that, but I think it's true. And I do a 15 minute call and I say, give me 15 minutes. I'll give you 3 ways to improve your business results. And it's true. And not enough people take me up on that. I do talk to a lot of people more casually, like at chamber events, or I run into people, I have coffee with people, and I am happy to give basic advice, like under those circumstances, just to make sure people are on the right track, you know, and whether they work with me or some other marketing company or digital marketing company, you know, I'm not judging that. You know, obviously I'd like to work with enough people, but like, I'm not the right fit for them. They're not always the right fit for me. Like, I like people that have the right mindset and really want to get into it and want to build it into their day in, day out work. And not everybody wants to do that. Some people just want to farm it out, you know, farm out your social media. And like, in my opinion, that's not going to be as successful as if it's part of your overall business processes.
I think what's also super important when it comes to marketing, and it gets into the later question here, is, you know, finding your niche and finding what works best for you for marketing purposes. As we record this, we have our North Country Wedding Expo happening at the Queensbury Hotel. And I run the North Country Wedding Expo page along with a couple other people, and we highlight their businesses. And one of the biggest thing is just being able of tagging a business and making sure that, you know, they know that you're there. And also to trying to just increase just the amount of shares or what potentially could happen. And I know I'm getting into these later questions, but everything just ties in together. So, I mean, for me, most recently, I think highlighting the business, who's going to be there, who's coming back, tagging, linking websites, or maybe a niche or a trend that's happening around social media. Like I said, kind of getting a little out of myself, but hey, it's okay. But I mean, it all ties into one, which is super important. And yes, when I said kind of getting a little ahead of myself, using the use of social media, you use the use of social media quite often, whether it's for your business, whether it's plugging you doing dance at the YMCA or other opportunities around the community. And you also niche on to the trends. You use the correct amount of hashtags. And some of the videos, okay, you're making face. You're making always, faces over here.
Not always big on the hashtags. And I know that they can be successful. So I said try. And trial and error is a good thing. You know, when it comes to your marketing, especially if it's free, so-called free, I'm doing air quotes here, because, like, obviously nothing is free because it's taking your time and effort. But as far as social media is concerned, you know, they say do a bit of A-B testing, and it's try different things, see what works. When I tried using hashtags on Instagram, I just got spam comments, spam messages, because those tend to be the people that are following the more general kind of hashtags. But if there are hashtags that are more relevant to your industry, an event especially, like an event in town, I know we've discussed that before, or an event that has something to do with your industry or your business or your demographics. So what I always say to people, look at what your customers are doing and where are they, your current customers, the customers that you want, you know, are they on social media? If they are, chances are if you get on social media and can interact and engage with them, you're going to get more of those kinds of customers. Email marketing, like that's something that I think is really, really important, underused. It seems difficult, but once you get on the right track, like I've set up like email marketing systems, there were like automated drip feed. Once it was set up, all they had to do was answer any replies that they got, you know, because it was like 1 week, one message goes out. The next week, another message goes out once people like sign up. But you might want to do a weekly or a monthly newsletter. But again, look at your audience. Is that the kind of thing that they're going to open if it falls in their inbox? Are they going to sign up for it? So again, look at that. But you should have a website at the very least. Like some people, I don't know if that's ahead of the question, just use Facebook, don't have a website. And the downside of that is, what if you do something that causes Facebook to take it down?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have control over that, where your own website you do have control over.
I think what's important with Facebook, too, is, you know, something could happen, whether you get a copyright strike or whether, you know, you're in quote-unquote Facebook jail. Hey, you have your website to get back on, and I can't tell you, I'm preparing to head to Canada in March, and anyone that knows me knows that I love hockey, so planning a trip to Canada and trying to figure out different things, and you would be surprised at how many businesses you can Google, and they have your directions, they have their phone number, they may have social media, but they don't have a website. I mean, let's be honest, you might have ran into this when you went out to the Finger Lakes for your birthday, but how many places did you Google or look up that you looked for their website, but they didn't have their menu attached to their website, so you had to go to their Facebook page?
Yeah, that does happen quite a lot. Though some people like sign on, especially if they've got like a third-party delivery system that they use, and do it through that, which is good and then can have its downsides also, like because it's like easily done for you and it's at a format that they've tried and tested with other like restaurants. But also, again, that's not yours. So
no.
They could have a glitch in their system and they're down, especially because it's like an ordering service tied into it with payment processing and everything. Like there could be any sort of things going wrong there. But most of the times they'd be reliable. But that's what you need to make sure. So if you are signing up with something like that, you need to check on reliability and just to make sure, you know, talk to other people that use that system and see how it's worked for them. This was a big issue in the early days when people didn't know what they were doing and they didn't have enough bandwidth and so everything would come crashing down. You know, these days there's less of that happening, but it's still possible.
I think especially for social media wise, here at the station, manage the 3 station pages, manage the website as much as possible. For me, I think a blessing for social media was the pandemic in 2020, because for our CKM audiences, obviously the demographic is a lot older than Hits or on The Legend across the way, and anyone that is 50 years or older are now on social media thanks to the pandemic, because sometimes they had to learn how to use Zoom to communicate with other people, or they had to use FaceTime, or they had to learn text messages. I mean, Apple is about 3.5 years late to simplifying your iPhone, their new future with their brand new iOS system. I mean, very thankful for that, because the numbers for CKM are up, and it's just something that I never would have thought that we had. And, you know, it kind of goes into how often do I need to post on social media. For the radio station, it kind of varies. Sometimes we're posting, you know, an hour a day. Sometimes we're posting 3 times a day or 5 times a day. I think for us, I think oftenly for social media is what's going to give you the most engagement. And lately, the latest trend is comment away. The more comments you get, the more interaction you're going to get through your listeners and through your people that follow you on your page.
Well, that's also going to mean that you're going to probably show up more frequently in the feed. The more engagement your post gets. So, and that's down the line, how do I go viral?
Sure.
But like as far as frequency of posting. So if you have a business page, you have access to the Meta Business Suite or whatever they call it. And which I go into every day, but I couldn't tell you the name of it. It's just there. When you go to post,
it's there.
When you're on your page and you go to post something, it'll say, you know, you can post this in the Meta Business Suite. And then you can schedule your posts, which is a handy dandy thing to do. But also it shows you when your audience is most likely to be on. So that's a good thing to have. And also, if you go into the analytics, it'll give you that kind of idea. So I know we've discussed before about timing being critical, because that's one of my big things in doing your target market research. But when you're posting, if you post when more people are on, they're likely to see it. It'll be fresh in the feed. So, and I've noticed this in my own trial and error, that I might post something and I'll get a couple of comments right away and then crickets.
Sure.
You know, so if I didn't get on there when there were more people on, then that's less likely for people to see. So when is your audience on? So some of that's common sense. Some of that is looking at the analytics and trial and error. And then ask people, you know, especially if you've got people coming in and out of your business, it's easy enough to ask people. Or in your chamber, you can talk to, you know, similar businesses, and talk to them about what works for them.
I know that there's obviously different business models that have, okay, I know when I'm going to post, I know when I'm going to have a sponsored post. And for us, really, I mean, I keep hammering back to the radio station, but it's the things that I manage. For us, I mean, it looks at, okay, who's listening at the most times, which station, and we're just going to hammer this post out.
Yes, you've got all that data.
And even for the North Country Wedding Expo, we don't have a ton of following. It's growing, and I'm thankful that I'm able to grow it as much as I can. It's also kind of a little pat on the back. But, you know, we don't post every day on there, but we'll post when somebody else is active or somebody else shares our comment. And thankfully, we have these things on our iPhone, which can be dangerous, and we get a notification right away. Ping, so-and-so shared your post. All right, well, they shared it 2 seconds ago. Well, I'm going to comment. Even if it's can't wait to see you there, or thanks for the recommendation on the business. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And then we'll tag them and then hopes that, hey, maybe they'll do business with us, or maybe they'll just interact and share our post. And plus two, social media, it's quote unquote free, but it does go a long way into promoting something that's very special. I think the Adirondack Thunder do a pretty good job of it. They use the scheduling Meta and moving forward. But I mean, if you understand the science, and and I don't know what the correct usage of word is here, but I mean, I don't want to necessarily say stalking, but you're kind of stalking your followers of knowing, okay, I know when this person's active, so I know when I'm going to post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't call it stalking, unless it's one person specifically. No, but now I tend to say, and when we talk about like specific frequency, sure. I say 3 times a day mm-hmm. on any channel,
mm-hmm.
right? The more the better, actually, right? But I do a minimum of 3 posts a day of like my content, right? So that's not including sharing other people's stuff. Because you want to also share other relevant posts because you want to get in good with those other people. But also, it's about giving your audience content that's relevant to them. Again, the next question is going to cover that. But as far as frequency, so if you're not posting daily, you're probably losing out because people are going to forget about you. But if you're posting on a regular basis, you're going to, and it's relevant content to your audience, they're going to be looking out for that. So like, what's your, you know, motivational quote of the day, or what are the specials today down at Lorella's, mm-hmm. you know, like Jerry's like posting up his specials stuff. What events are coming up this weekend? Or like, I have a friend that does karaoke weekly, and if he hasn't posted, like, I'm going to be down there, I message him and like, is there karaoke on today? Because he didn't post, you know? So it's like, I'm waiting to see that post, man. Get it out there. But like, sometimes we get busy. So that's why it is good to use the scheduling tools. So, but now like Facebook and Instagram, you can do that all in the Meta tool. And you can schedule as many as you want with images, with videos, and schedule them ahead. And you have a nice little calendar back there. So then you see what you've got. So you can plan it out. Now, some people say like 3 times a day. Like, how am I going to come up with stuff for 3 times a day? But you can repost stuff because people don't see everything that you have. You know, so just think ahead. So that's why I say have once a month, once a quarter, your content scheduling day, where you sit down and you plan it all out.
I think, too, it's also important, you mentioned the reposting, but sharing even something somebody comments. I mean, I think the beauty of, okay, so in the morning, you know, we might have the Thunder Minute being brought to you by Livingston's Furniture, and then, you know, hey, that was the Thunder Minute. Be sure to check it out, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or if a listener wins a prize, for example. Mm-hmm. Hey, coming up at 9:30, you know, your whatever prize, and then the person could come in, we'll take a picture of them holding the prize and say, hey, congratulations. And I think the most one that we use here is, you could be next. Hey.
Yeah.
Call into the radio station because you could be next. But
yeah,
yeah, I think we'll kind of segue into how can I go viral. We can obviously share our stories, but going viral, you've accomplished that, correct?
Different things.
Sure.
You know, and it's like the, you know, what is viral? Viral is the eye in the eye of the beholder. But it's, you know, because going viral doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually going to get you business.
Sure.
But it might get you more followers. It might get you some more attention.
Your engagement will be
up. And you want to make sure it's for the right reasons, right? Something positive rather than negative. But, yeah, so people are always asking because they want to know, like, how do I go viral? How do, you know? And it's like I came up with, like, your content needs to be relevant and remarkable. So relevant mainly to your audience, right? It has to be of some value to your audience. And remarkable meaning they're like, wow, I want to share this with my friends. And that's hard to do. And we've talked about this before, and we talked about it with Amanda from the ARCC. People just don't share stuff, you know? So what does it take to get people to share stuff? You got to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be in the old days of Twitter, you know, you'd end everyone as please RT, you know, please retweet this.
Every once in a while, those will come up, or it's please RT, please like, spread the word, and reply.
You got to ask.
Yep.
Don't ask, you don't get.
Right? Right.
That's some people's philosophy. And that is kind of true when it comes to social media.
And I think, too, viral, like you mentioned, has different categories, right? Maybe your hopes to go viral on TikTok. So You can be part of the creator fund, or maybe you can go viral here, which we try to do at least one of our pages at least once a month. Maybe it's just 12,000 people looking at our stuff. Well, okay, we look at the map of the region of who's following us. 12,000 people. Hey, that's going viral as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
Pete Cloutier, a big name for WCKM, played in the Glens Falls Green Jackets game. And as a joke, we said he was going to break the Guinness World Record for being the oldest person in a semi-pro football game. So I was like, well, I'm going to run with this. So we tagged Guinness World Records and everything. Well, it took off. Mm-hmm. And then we actually got to know the man who actually holds the record. And he was like, well, I hold this record. We're like, well, it's kind of just a publicity stunt. But it did over 100,000 views in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, oh, I've gone viral. Kind of that, like, holy shit moment of, hey, I went viral. I did it. As someone that runs media, I did it. I'm so excited. You know, I can't wait to show this to my bosses. As a, wow. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, but if you break that down, like, what's the anatomy of a viral post? So it was something a bit different. It was newsworthy and included somebody well-known. If you're tagging other organizations, because then they're more likely to then, you know, tag or share it on. That happens a lot on Instagram, you know, on the stories. If you've tagged somebody that's in the picture or the video or an organization that's relevant, then they often will share that to their story too. So it gets that much more mileage. So you need to look at all those things too. And you may not achieve that on a daily basis, but, you know, from time to time to do that. But it's making sure it's relevant. Like you know, with the radio station and the hockey, you've got a lot of things that you have ready built, fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a social, those are social kind of
events?
Businesses.
Sure.
You know, where people, you know, they want to listen. See what you're going to post, and they want to share it with their friends, you know, especially anything sports related. When it comes to my marketing business, then it's a whole other ball game. And I think that's where people start to get like, oh, what can I post about? And some people feel awkward about posting about themselves. So it's, again, looking at what are the needs, the wants, the interests of your audience and finding content that is interesting to them. So like for me in the podcast, I include interviews of business people around the area. So that hopefully, like one of my most viral posts was when I did the article about Dr. Kelly Hatton Burgos.
Sure.
Burgos Hatton. Yep. Sorry, Kelly.
Which is recent.
Sorry, Kelly. Yeah, and then we've turned that, our Zoom session where I interviewed her for that newspaper article into a podcast. But she works at SUNY Adirondack. And she's got a big audience of people that follow her, past students, other business people. Like, that's why I wrote about her, because she is such an influential person in this area. And she's made great connections. And she's a good person to look at on social media. She posts frequently because she teaches business at SUNY Adirondack and marketing, but she also has worked in those areas and she's been a consultant in those areas and she has her own businesses. So she has a lot of stuff to post about.
And a cheat sheet, nudge, nudge for anyone hoping something can go viral or looking. Yes, I will say, we look at people that have high social media following counts to say, okay, hey, maybe in hopes I can get them to share this so we can collab in the future. Or somebody might say, hey, I saw your article on blah, blah, blah. I'd love to do business with you. It's not, I mean, maybe it is, but it's really not a secret that us as follows marketing and wanting content out there and making it successful, that we use those tools.
Yeah, but you just got to remember, it's got to be relevant.
Right.
And it's got to be of value, like I said, to your audience. But if you're now like trying to deal with influencers, right? So I'd call Kelly an influencer in this area. It needs to be of value to them as well. You know, so it's not always about what's in it for me. Like some people will tag everybody, like totally irrelevantly in hopes that it'll get shared. It might a little bit. Also, people, and I do recommend that you build your community of people that will share your stuff. And it wouldn't be in the sense that in the early days, and I've talked to some people about doing this kind of work, but never did it because I always thought it was on the edge of not being ethical, is people have, they used to be called like link farms. We'd have just have websites with a bunch of links.
Huh.
And because it was like Google, you know, your rankings are based on how many links you have. But then Google got smart and found ways to figure out the value of those links.
Never heard of this.
Right. No, you never heard of link farms before?
No, never.
Well, there's kind of like, I don't think they were called social media farms. There might have been a term for it, but it was like that. Whereas there were companies that hired people to set up a bunch of fake social media accounts, and they would just all like each
yep.
other's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
posts and things. And like
before sponsored posts were a thing.
No, maybe.
Maybe?
Even, yeah, maybe even since then. And it probably does still happen. It probably does still happen because, like, how many times, like, this happens a lot, especially, I think, on some of the sporting accounts.
Oh, the fake bots of watch the game here with a link.
Yeah, and then, or the t-shirt ones,
ugh.
You know, and you're, yeah. like, tagged on some comment, and then you realize it's something you had done a comment on, like, months ago, and they're like, oh, get this t-shirt, and it's like, oh, report, you know, do you even bother,
yeah.
you know, it's like, should I even bother reporting these, you know?
Right, and like, it's fascinating to see how that all comes together. It's almost kind of like the ticketing industry with Ticketmaster and Live Nation, which is a whole nother monopoly ball game. But I think we touched on this earlier, but getting more interactiveness with commenting and sharing on Facebook, obviously a good trick that's working so far in 2024 is a picture of something and no wrong answers. You know, you might be posting a picture of somebody that says post the caption. That's always a good way to get your people up, especially what's worked for us. But just keeping your content fresh, and I think maybe even collaborating with other businesses and saying, check out our collaboration is another
yeah.
good way. But it's just, there's just so many unique niches of ways of being like, oh, well, this worked. And sometimes it may work 1 week and it might not work the next. And you're going, got to scratch my head and go back to the drawing board on this one.
Well, there's so many factors at play there. And as far as partnering, like that is very important to do. And so like in my dance fitness world, I partnered with Peak Nutrition. It was another person I interviewed.
Sure.
And we had a short little interview from her on one of our podcasts. And she has space there to do classes. So I partnered with her and do free pop-up mini classes there. But because we're both Adirondack Chamber members, I wrote to Amanda, and then she pushed that out in their newsletter. So, you know, they're happy to see a partnership between members. So that then gives it just another angle for it to be posted about. So, you know, it's always looking at these different angles, like what is newsworthy about this? I mean, maybe one day we'll do a whole episode on just PR type stuff, because I think a lot of people are, you know, you kind of forget about traditional PR when like there's just so much social media and digital marketing going on. But there's an art, it's still necessary, of getting yourself in the press.
Yeah, and especially talk about PR, it runs everywhere, but in sports it's important to have your communications and PR people, especially maybe not at the ECHL level, but the NHL and the American Hockey League level, and just not Facebook and Twitter, X, Instagram, LinkedIn. We touched on it at the beginning, but having a website and where people can find you and see you is just as important. Even if websites, maybe to you, aren't really a thing, they're much needed, especially if you're just looking for basic information about a business. Sometimes it's great to have.
Yeah, like some people might not be able to. And yeah, that's the next question. Do I have to have a website? Can I just use Facebook or Instagram? And we talked about this a little bit. And so I said about the one thing about you should have one of your channels that you have complete control over. So while, yes, you're going to be using a hosting company or you might be using a website platform that hosts for you like Wix or Squarespace or and there's WordPress.com versus WordPress.org and people start going, oh, no, that's all that technical stuff. I don't want to deal with it. You know, again, hire somebody to set up your website for you professionally, but don't lose control of it because that happens too often where you hire someone to do your website, but you don't know the details of the hosting and how to log in and all that. So that's very important. And I'm not saying that these web people are trying to take control. Like it is just easier in some ways, but you never know where they're going to go or they might not be available to you at one point or you might fall out with them. So it is good. You should have control over all these things. But because this comes up time and again, like it was rampant in the early days. But even now, like a group that I'm involved with, like their website's hosted by their web company, which it's not really hosted by the web company. Sure. They just resell hosting space from another big host. But they manage it. So it's one less thing you have to think about. But you need to have access to that just in case you need it.
And plus, too, there's a lot less restrictions when it comes to the website that you can use via a post, especially kind of gets into the next question. Do I have to have a blog? And for a website, you know, for social media, there's always the cliche of, well, keep it simple, stupid, kind of the KISS method when it comes to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And everyone has different, I would say, categories or cautions that you have to put on. For Instagram, what's worked for us is just keeping it short and simple and using a few hashtags. For Facebook, tagging the business and making it not seem like you're reading a book. Like I said, That's for your website. That's where the people come in. And then even for Twitter, same thing. Twitter's different now because now you can pay for your premium services and you can tweet something over 280 characters. I remember when it was 140, And you had to keep it so simple.
I liked it then.
It was just so much easier.
It's like a skill to it.
And now you have to. Now you can click it and view everything, and it works out for some sports reporters every once in a while. You don't have to necessarily keep scrolling and trying to thread. But for blogs, I think it's very important that you should have a blog every once in a while. Even, you know, maybe, you know, for someone it's not daily, maybe it's weekly, maybe it's even monthly. But having, you know, the good for us is kind of the Q1, the Q2, the Q3, and the Q4. Updating people, what's going on with your business, what are your plans? That's why there's four seasons. That's why they call it Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. But, you know, update everyone in the fall. Update everyone in the winter months ahead. Even updating during the new year, even doubling up is super important. As we're getting into spring, as we're getting into the summer months, hey, as kids are going back to school, happy holidays, happy new year. Those are some just niches to say, okay, I can write a blog and I can go on and on as long as you would like. But there's always got to be some sort of reason why you're doing the blog, at least in my healthy opinion.
Yeah, but I would say more frequently is important. Sure. Like I suggest weekly.
Sure.
And not everyone can do it weekly. But again, if you have your content creation planned out, you don't have to write these things every week. You can write them ahead of time and then schedule them out. But because people go to, I mean, how many times have you been to a website and like the last post is like from 2020?
A lot.
And it's
a
like,
lot recently.
Oh, is this business still open? You know, is the other information on this site valid or not? You know, so if you can't, I would say don't do a blog.
Sure.
If you can't do it more frequently than monthly, like monthly is probably, quarterly I think is a bit too little, but at least monthly. But like because search engine optimization, which is like the art and science of getting your website up in the Google searches without paying, right? That's mm-hmm. that was always my specialty. And a lot of people don't even think about that now, but it still is a thing. And especially for more localized kind of searches, it's important. But so those blog posts are really useful for getting up in searches on more specialized kind of phrases that people might be searching on.
And do your homework as well when it comes to the keywords for your searches. Not necessarily what's trending or what the trendy words are, but okay, if you know that you're a local business and you know that it's a certain time during the week or a certain time during something going on downtown, hey, just slip those words under there, because even if you post to Facebook and somebody searches, you know, downtown Glens Falls, or in April, every April is Winkfest, even sliding in the word Winkfest, that might even just give you a glimpse of hope to getting to the top.
Yeah, well, and it is important to use these phrases for like the SEO type aspect of it, but also that's the language that your users are using, that your target audience are using. So that's showing that you're relating to them. And also that, like, when they're searching and your site pops up with that wording that they're using, it's gonna attract them and engage them that much more quickly. So there's many, many reasons for that. But as far as a blog is concerned, it doesn't have to be called a blog. It doesn't have to be called news. Like, it could be frequently asked questions. I mean, just think about how it works in with your website and your overall business. And you can get other people to write for you. So, like, if you're a larger organization, you have different key people. Like, you could get people that are writing about different aspects of the business that would be relevant to your audience. You could get vendors or other people that you work with, or clients, or different people to write as well, like guest posting, and vice versa. So that's another way to increase your reach.
You mentioned something that if a business doesn't post from 2020, or maybe sometimes their hours aren't updated, I guess that kind of falls into the next question in the category of, should I use ChatGPT or another AI content generation tool for my website and posts? And ChatGPT is brand new. Your thoughts on everything happening with the AI?
Yeah, people are just going crazy with AI. And I kind of laugh about it because it's like AI's been around us forever. It's like, why is it that Amazon's always showing us like what we've been looking at? Like, that's all kind of AI stuff, but now we have it in a more kind of user-friendly
way,
platform, like in an app that we could use. And also, like, how many of our tools now have AI built in? You know, like my email marketing platforms, like, use AI to create your headlines, and, you know, so that's coming around a lot. But luckily, they give you the opportunity to use the AI, but then you can decide whether or not you want to override it. So I say use ChatGPT, or I use Google's version Bard, to come up with ideas, right? And maybe the start of an article or some content, but do not use it verbatim as it comes out of the generator, because A, they're using data that's a couple years old.
True.
That's kind of a known factor. They're not using the most current type of stuff. They're using data that's a couple years old. So it could be outdated. It could be wrong, because it's just like when you do a Google search and a bunch of stuff comes up that it wasn't what you were looking for. The same thing can happen when you're using something like ChatGPT, because it's doing a search and it's pulling this stuff off the internet, just like you could do yourself, but it does it for you. And also, you don't want to be plagiarizing. They're pulling this data off of other people's websites.
True.
So I say use it as a starting point, get some ideas. I've used it for the name of this podcast, the name of my marketing magic masterclass. So one of the keys to getting good information out of these tools is the prompts. And there's people that that's their job, writing prompts. So they call it the prompt, that what you type in order to get it out. So you've got to give it a lot of good information. And if you use it regularly, it actually gets to know you. So that's kind of scary.
Now, I was going to say scary would be the word there. But I will say, I think Google introduced this, calling a restaurant and having Google basically call for you for reservations. I love that feature. Not that I don't like calling on the phone, but if I can just have Google just say, hey, I need a reservation, quick, easy, or something. ChatGPT is useful for some reason. I think their data backs to 2021. I think I read that yesterday, 2 days ago when we're recording this. So it's relevant, but not all there. I mean, a lot of things have happened in the last 3 years, let alone the last four. So, yeah, I think that people are getting around to it more, and people are using it more. People are using it on dating websites now, too.
That's a good idea.
With Tinder and Bumble and Hinge. So there's just a lot. There's a lot that people are using it for. And some of it's great. Some of it's not so great. And you just got to be careful of, you know, what you're using it. I mean, obviously, it's a tool that can generate ideas within a split second and takes away the hassle of sitting down and thinking.
Yeah. But it's, you know, you do have to check it just like you always would anything that you've just come up with on a website. You know, what sites do you, like if you're doing your research yourself, then you know what sites you trust. You know, the main, you know, news providers and things like that that are more trustworthy than others, than just some random website. You know, so, but if, when you're using an AI tool like that, you don't know where it's coming from.
Sure.
So like the example is of this woman who like ran a humanitarian nonprofit that was dealing in the Middle East, and someone did a ChatGPT type article about her, and it said she was a war criminal. You know, it's like, because somehow the data from what the work that she did came up with that.
It's like Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you've heard about this, but Sports Illustrated sometimes was hiring fake writers for their articles and using ChatGPT.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's another big thing now in sports. I mean, that's a risk right there in itself. I mean, you think about the future of ChatGPT. It's going to, it already has, eliminated jobs. But, you know, is it going to get to a point where we're eliminating jobs in print? We're eliminating jobs in media? You know, like, how much is this system going to go? I mean, it's crazy. I'll let you kind of take over question 8, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not exactly sure what the ZYZ tactic is.
No, that was like they come up with some tactic. Like,
okay.
You know, my competitor is using sponsored posts.
Oh, like an ABC.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I mean.
I got you.
Right?
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's like, people tend to look at what their competitors are doing.
Absolutely.
You know?
All day.
And so then they say, well, should I be doing that too? So just because somebody's doing something doesn't mean that it's working for them. So you need to look at that aspect too. So again, it needs to be, and it's always good to get ideas from the competition, but also other people in your industry, not necessarily direct competition. But just because they're doing something, but like, it might seem important to you that like, if my competitor's doing paid, you know, Google pay-per-click, and they're coming up when someone types in my name, because you can do that.
Right.
So like some other digital marketing company could pay to come to the top of Google searches whenever someone puts in Ann Donnelly. Like, you know, so then you just have to outbid them.
Yeah.
But that, you know, they can do that. And someone said, like, how can they do that? That's not fair. And it's like, well, they can do it. You know, that's just, you know. So that, you might want to say, like, okay, I better do what they're doing then. If they seem to be coming up ahead of you, on top of you. So, like, people look at that. It used to be in, like, the Google Maps searches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are listed. Now, I'm not sure if now they are also listed based on the reviews.
So for Apple, for Google Maps, mm-hmm. It varies into two factors. And I think they took a page out of Google's playbook. Mm-hmm. They were a few years late. One, it goes by distance, and the other distance. One goes by reviews.
Yeah, so it used to be that the Google Map listings, like, so when there's a list next to the map, was based on distance, and it was distance from, like, the center point of that town or location. So then people were, like, buying P.O. boxes or whatever, you know, to try to get ahead of their competitors.
It's actually a smart idea.
Yeah. Well, then Google kind of keeps an eye on that kind of stuff too. Because, like, I used a P.O. box for a while because I was working from home, but I didn't want to use my home address on my website.
Sure.
So I got a Glens Falls Post Office P.O. address. But then it kind of says located within Glens Falls Post Office.
Right.
And now that I do actually have an office and it has the right address, it still says located within. I don't know, like, when that's going to update or not, you know, so those sorts of things. But yeah, so then Google kind of got smart about checking whether it's a real physical address for the business versus a P.O. box address. You know, because some businesses legitimately have P.O. box addresses. But that's not necessarily your location, where they want the Google Maps listings to be more physical location. So that's why they have the whole system of you sending in a postcard or calling to confirm that the phone number is valid and the address is valid.
We get that all the time.
But beware, because most of the phone calls you get
are scams.
Saying that are scams.
Yeah. We get them daily. I mean, at this point, it's our owner of the radio station's name is Clay. His legal name is Clayton. And they're like, is Clayton on the line? I'm like, you're calling the studio, the radio station line, so you're not calling his business office. So I know that it's a scam. But we get those every day, it seems. I got 2 o'clock. I got two of them in my on-demand diner. But they know that the request line's open for there's a contest going on. It's the weirdest thing. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you this, and you can answer this if you want to, or you can give the old Family Feud pass. What's one thing, you don't have to mention the business, obviously. What's one thing that you've taken from a business that's worked for you with your marketing?
Well, sponsorships might be something that if I see, like, another business is sponsoring something.
Sure.
I only sponsor things that I really feel, A, is in line with my audience, and or B, is something that I really care about and would want to financially support.
Yeah.
But
you're at that point, though, within your business and what your model is, right? I mean, I feel like early on, maybe that wasn't the case, or was that always the case for you?
It kind of was, just because, like, I don't want to say, like, this is my second chapter or the last chapter
right.
of my business career. Like, I've started up this business again recently after moving back from Ireland. So part of what my ethos or my business strategy is that this is, like, my life. And, like, I want to support people that I want to support, and I want to do with my business, like, good that I want to do, you know, so that's helping, you know, the organizations I want to help, working with the people I want to work with, you know, so as far as the sponsorships are concerned, like I said, if it's not a significant amount of money, I tend to sponsor just about anybody. When it's more money, you know, stuff local, obviously, like something that I would support, but like for more money, that it is looking at what is really going to be in line, like with like getting to my target audience in some way.
That kind of is segueing into the next question, which is what is a marketing strategy and why do I need one? Kind of listed that a little bit in your answer that you gave there, but marketing strategies are huge, and marketing strategies, newsflash, can change at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's important to have one because you know your plan of action and you know exactly mm-hmm. what you want to do for the month, the day, the year, whatever.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, and this is what I tell people, everyone has a strategy. And it may be that you have no strategy. You just do whatever you think you should do, right? So how more effective and the best use of your time and money is that going to be versus actually spending time planning out what is the content and what is the type of content and what are the channels that I should use to reach my target audience and when and where and the whole, we've been through this. You can go back to the initial podcast episodes that are all about, you know, defining your target audience. How much more effective is that going to be? And like, I offer a day marketing strategy development session. I call it the boot camp. One day. So let me come in to your office, work one-on-one with you, or two or three key people in your business, and just hash out, you know, what are you doing now? Where do you want to be? And how are you going to get there? And what do you need to do that? And we'll look at your website. We'll look at all of your digital channels. We'll look at all the other marketing and sales type activities that you're doing and seeing what's working. How could it be more effective? You know, and it may just come down to you didn't do the target audience research and you're just like willy-nilly, you know, just like, oh, wait, no, there's probably like one niche part of that audience that you could kill it on. And if you just put a little bit of attention into generating content and delivering it in a way that they're going to get it, that you could really just kill it and it could just take your business to the next level.
Right. And I think, too, once you kind of have that marketing strategy and understanding it, then your target segments tend to come in. And you need a target segment that's not a surprise. And if you want to sell to everyone, you kind of need to figure out, okay, what are my target segments? Where is my business mm-hmm. being most effective? And can I go out of my target audience? Mm-hmm. I mean, for the radio station, usually exit 15, exit 16 mm-hmm. to exit 26 mm-hmm. is kind of where our market is.
Yeah.
But it's always, you got to have your target segment because then you know, okay, I know where I'm selling to the consumer and I know where my audience will be for being able to target certain things.
And you know what your message is. You know, what message they're going to relate to, like what music you play at what different times of the day, right? And you might have special shows, I don't know if you do, that are like, you know, retro lunch or, you know, those kinds of things. That like people like me are going to be like, yeah, I want to listen to that. Make sure I'm in my car that time of day.
Right, like the 90s Time Warp Flashback with Gonzo airs every Saturday from 9 to 11. Not only is it a good filler, but there's nobody else on in the after Gonzo unless we have a hockey game.
Well, like late night radio, where like a lot of times they're just doing replays of early things because they know that either there's not going to be a lot of people, or like the people that are working at night that are going to be listening to the radio didn't get a chance to hear it earlier.
Right, or it's linered out, so there's no voice.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, okay, so just even to explain what a target segment is, right? So you've got your whole audience, right? They're all the people you want to sell to, right? And it may be everybody. You might be selling something that could possibly appeal to everybody in the world, right? But if you just put out a message that's like generic, going to try to appeal to everybody, it's not going to really be that effective for anybody. But if you break it down into what I call these target segments that are pockets, groups within your target audience that have commonality, that then you can say, oh, okay, you've mentioned like in the morning, mom's school drop-off are a target audience.
Absolutely. Right? Always will
be. So they're going to be a certain age. They're moms. They're females. You know, so they're in this location. So there's going to be certain music that they're going to be interested in. There's going to be certain ads that will appeal to them more. So your message is going to be more effective. I always talk about it like if you throw a big, huge net into the ocean and you're going to pull in all this stuff, and if you're like a tuna fisherman, what are you going to do with all the rest of the junk that you get in, you know? Whereas if you're very specific, but you're not running just one campaign, you're running a number of campaigns, so you can target several different segments. But it's more time, it's more effort, but it's worth it because your message is going to be so much more effective.
Yeah, especially in radio, it changes all the time, right? It's like, now, like, our program director on Hits 95.9 in 2 years is going to be 50. So now most of the target or the people that listen to the station are my age, the 12 to 38, 39, 40. And that's a big thing too, is our target segments change from station to station. They may even change sometimes hour to hour, mm-hmm. you know. Coming home from work, for example, that 4 to 6 o'clock range mm-hmm. is prime time for radio. People are getting into their cars, so that's like a perfect time to run a contest on the ride home, or hey, you want to hear something on the radio? Well, our request line's going to be open, or even in the morning, we never run a contest past 9 o'clock because we know that people are in their car dropping their kids off to work or going to school, etc. It's just what's broken down, and if we need to reassess the situation, well, we reassess it. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And even more so, like in a marketing sense, the businesses that advertise with you during those times are going to be very aware of what the audience is like at those times. You know, because you're going to want that to be relevant too. So, you know, and that's what you're advertising salespeople probably discuss with your customers, your advertising customers.
What KPI should I use to measure success with my marketing?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't even look at the results, right? And they're just throwing money and time at stuff and hoping it's working and not sure, but they're thinking, well, I'm getting some calls, I'm getting some sales. But you should really be looking at the analytics, the statistics, whether it's your website, whether it's your digital marketing, your email marketing. Like the email marketing, it comes up like right after you send it, you'll see, you know, how many people opened it, how many people clicked your links. So, and then you can see like an overview of all your emails, you know, what was the performance. So it's important to look at those. Now I say they should be the ones that align with your overall goal, but also the specific goal for a campaign, right? So if you're wanting people to come to your website and buy a product, then the KPI is going to be how many people went from Facebook to your website, and then how many went through your website and made a purchase. So that's looking at different analytics to see how that worked. If you're paying like for sponsored posts or pay-per-click on Google, you absolutely need to be looking at all those numbers and then the ROI. And they're going to give you like the pay-per-click platform, Google Ads, or AdWords, if it's still called that, is going to give you that kind of data so you can look at. If you use the easy method where they determine which phrases to use, it won't be by phrase, but it used to be you'd get by, you know, the phrases that you targeted, and you'd see how many people clicked. You definitely want to look at that because you're paying per click.
Right.
So if you're getting a bunch of clicks and you're not getting a bunch of sales, you definitely need to start changing things. So whenever you're doing paid promotions, you need to keep an eye on things more frequently, more closely. You know, look at the amount of times it was shown, how many times it was clicked, and what did those clicks result in.
I think what's also super important is like for the radio station, you know, we have a couple sponsored advertisers on our website, and they always ask, hey, you know, what was it like for the month? How many people clicked out? And ever since we've had them, there's been no decrease, which knock on wood, is fantastic. Obviously, you're going to get those from time to time, but that's why I think a lot of people are so good about link trees now too. They're more popular, especially if you want to link your YouTube and all your socials, or you're running a sale, or maybe you're an Amazon seller and you have a shop, or like Etsy, for example. Boom, one click, and then if somebody doesn't like it, they can just click the X button and move on to their other part of the link tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Linktree gives you statistics. So, like, I haven't used Linktree, or I did early on, but not very for very long. But that is one of the benefits of Linktree, which is it's a website where you can just put your significant links, so that from social media, people can just click that one link and it gives you all the other links. So it could be your other accounts. Like you said, if you had like an Etsy shop as well as your website shop. But Linktree gives you those statistics. So what this came up recently in the dance fitness world, again, there's a guy, like one of two guys, that does our dance fitness format.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Arizona and he's gone viral. He's got like a million followers on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, because he's very animated and he posts a lot of videos and he's gotten really good at it. So somebody that knew people into my class said, they saw one of his videos and wanted to see like where they could do dance classes like that. And on his link tree, it says, find a class near you. And they were like, oh, there's never going to be one in Glens Falls. And boom, they clicked and there I was listed. So I thanked him. So I said, once again, Rick has helped, you know, us other small town, you know, turn up people. And he told me like thousands of people click that link.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, every week or whatever. You know, so he knew that through his link tree that how many people were actually clicking that link.
And he knows, too, that, like, people are looking for these types of things in this area. So then he can report back to who he's got to report back to and say, hey, look, here are the numbers. Here's what's going on. Here's what's happening. And that brings us to the last question is, why should I invest in marketing? We'll put a nice bow on it and wrap up the biggest questions that you get asked,
right.
Your most asked marketing questions.
Well, and I tend to avoid that question in that, like, well, how long is a piece of string?
Sure.
Right? But, you know, if you are working for a bigger company, then you've got to have some sort of statistics to base your budgeting on. You know, so I did look at statistics and, you know, what businesses normally spend. And smaller businesses spend a greater percentage of their overall budgets on marketing just because they tend to need that. You know, they don't have the in-house expertise. They don't have a team to do it in-house, so they need to outsource more things. If it's early on in your life of your business, you need to do more marketing just to get known. So I'll just read off some of these statistics. So it came up, those with less than 50 employees spent an average of 18.1% of their budgets on marketing.
Wow.
So the average for businesses larger than this was 9.1%, so about half. So that was 50 to 99 employees. And then the larger businesses with more than 10,000 was 8.1%. So not as big a difference between the medium small, 50 to 99 employees, and the huge, right? I didn't give all the breakdowns
sure,
in between,
right,
because they're all kind of within that. But with less than 50 employees, it was 18.1%. And for like solopreneurs and the even smaller businesses, it would probably be an even greater percentage than that. Although a lot of people at that point would be trying to do it on their own, but maybe not doing it well because you just don't have the time and the resources.
And that's where somebody like you comes in.
Yeah. So then looking at annual revenue. So if we look at those with less than 10 million annual revenue, we're spending 18%. So what's 18% of 10 million?
We'll pull the old calculator out.
Say,
here.
Hey, Google. That's what I do at home.
We need 10 million.
18% of 10 million.
There we go. All right. We're doing this in real time.
Right.
As I say.
Sorry, people. I'm actually pretty good at math, but sometimes I just don't let my mind.
I thought that in radio and in media, there was not supposed to be math involved. That's why we got into the whole thing. Well, while Anne is kind of...
using my calculator.
Yeah. Super excited now for Building Success mm-hmm. Stories moving forward. It's been an awesome time, and it's been fantastic so far being able to reconnect with you. But a huge episode with the most asked marketing questions and something that you've been wanting to do for a long time. So do we mm-hmm. find an answer? Did we?
Well, those were the actually the most asked questions.
Yeah.
Of 2023 of me, but more overall time too. I mean, people just tend to ask the same questions. So that's why I thought we'll go through all of those. But when it comes to budgeting, like I said, again, speak to somebody that's reliable. Like I said, you can 15 minutes with me won't cost you anything. And we can discuss all these things, in a shortened kind of version, but as relevant to you, to decide whether or not like it'd be a good fit to work with me to develop these kind of strategies for you. Or if you're working with somebody already, I can help assure you that like they're on the right track and, you know, your money's being spent well.
Any big things coming up for you lately around the community in the upcoming months? Anywhere you're going to be?
Well, my dance fitness stuff's going strong. not really. Like, I'm not involved in, like, I don't have any leadership roles in any of the chambers or anything at the moment, but I'm still going to all the mixers and women in business meetings and things like that.
Is that something you want to get involved in later on, kind of having a bigger role?
Well, I did for a while with the Lake George Women in Business. I was co-chair for 2 years, and I did like that, but I didn't get – I was nominated, but I didn't get any spots in the ARCC Women's Business Council this year, and I put it in the hands of the people.
Sure.
Because I was actually nominated for every position, and I decided – we'll put it in the hands of the people. I didn't say, like, I want to be the chair or I want to be, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I ended up not getting any. But for me, I said, that's the fate. Like, I'm not meant to do it. And really, I've got a lot going on anyway. So it's probably better off that I didn't.